So we have this letter to the Galatians. Some debate who its author is, but it was probably written around the year 55, so Jesus has been dead and risen, almost 20 years, written by the Apostle Paul to the ethnic Galatians in what is today modern-day Turkey. Things are at odds. That phrase, biting and devouring, really stood out to me. On my worst days, as a teacher, as a mom, as a spouse, I would feel like fish were nibbling at me, devouring me. And yet, here it is other humans actually doing it. And he reminds them, as followers of Jesus Christ, their job is to build up the community, not tear it apart. For Christians are led by the Spirit who enables us to fulfill God's word, God's love for the world. Christ has set us free for freedom, says the scripture. Freedom, remember, from the guilt and the shame of sin. Freedom from the worst of our past, which is now forgiven. Freedom from the fear of what others think. Paul calls us to give ourselves to the freedom of loving all of God's children, all of our neighbors. This is the call of our baptism, to accept God's love for ourselves, and then to share it out in the world. For the whole guidance, says the scripture, of God is summed up in one commandment. And if I asked you where you first heard this commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, there's a good chance you'd say Jesus, because Jesus said it a lot. But it actually comes out of a book of the Bible that some of us don't like very much. It's a book of rules in the Hebrew scriptures called Leviticus. And right there in the middle of Leviticus 19:18, it says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself, for I am the Holy One," says God. There it is, centuries and centuries old. Jesus learned this growing up at home. And then he went out from the synagogue to grow a community that would practice love of neighbor. Our scripture goes on, live by the Spirit. This is the Spirit we celebrated recently at Pentecost that was with God, remember, at the very beginning of Genesis, because the Spirit of God moved on the waters and things were created, but then becomes very alive as all of a sudden people who are gathered and speaking in different languages understand each other. Sometimes we speak the same English language and we don't understand each other, or we're not quite listening with our heart as well as our minds. The Spirit, in helping us to listen better and understand, helps us move into that beloved community, which is God's vision for us, for the world, and what it's all about. So why are the Galatians fighting? We might as well ask, why is there so much hate in the world? And I don't know about you, but that's a question that's too much on my mind these days. And I wish it wasn't, but there it is. So what are we to do? We are not left without anything. Eugene Peterson, who is the paraphraser of the message, put it this way in 1993, in his paraphrase of Galatians. For there is a root of sinful self-interest in us. I guess I better take care of myself because nobody else will. God's looking at us and saying, excuse me? What? But it's at odds with a free spirit. Just as the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness. We don't always think of those, but that's what Paul is dealing with in this particular letter about biting and devouring in community. He's contrasting freedom and slavery, the flesh and the spirit. Clarence Jordan, for some reason I was inclined to go back to him, and if you went to seminary like I did, starting in the late 70s, there was a series of books called The Cotton Patch Gospel. And Clarence Jordan, who was very active in reconciliation, and particularly racial reconciliation in the South, in Georgia, where I just happened to be going to school, was a Greek scholar, and he was translating the New Testament. And the letter to the Galatians is one that he did. And so he names these problematic things in some ways I think that are even a little closer to home than the scripture that Tracy read for us. Jordan talked about accumulation of mental and emotional garbage. You seen any of that this week? Mental and emotional garbage? Joyless grabs for happiness. Happiness without joy. Paranoid loneliness, an easy place to go if we isolate ourselves only online. Cutthroat competition, all-consuming but never satisfied wants. A brutal temper, a divided home, small-minded, lopsided pursuits. The vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival. Jordan was writing this in the 70s and 80s. And yet, how often do we see this vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone else who's not like me into something that is an anathema? Uncontrolled addictions, ugly parodies of community. Oh, how nice. That doesn't go anywhere when I turn my back on you and start saying nasty things out of my mouth. Peterson adds to this list, since he wrote in the 90s, worshiping gadgets. And I love your tech here. It is so well done, and I just have to say that, the invitations, the use of it. But worship belongs to God, yes? We aren't supposed to worship our gadgets, even AI, because all that eventually tears our community apart. And what are the Spirit? I don't know about you. I did not have to memorize the 9 gifts of the Spirit when I was in VBS years ago. But it's really helpful to go back to them. Love, joy, peace, patience. Luckily, now that I'm retired, I have plenty of time to work on my patience. It is some days a full-time job. Kindness, that one's a little easier for me. Generosity, faithfulness to God, to love, gentleness, and self-control. The more we practice these, yes indeed, the less room there is in our lives for the things that tear our communities apart. So what happens when we live God's way? Kindness grows more kindness. Empathy is recognized as a virtue, no matter what books and some preachers are saying about empathy. It is not a weakness, it is a strength. Compassion helps all of us live happier lives. God brings these gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in the orchard. I swear I saw when I passed that orchard up the street from here, you know, there were some things starting to grow on those trees, and we actually do watch Branstrobel peaches near us because that's a favorite, and it only lasts a short time, but it's so beautiful to see, so yummy to eat. Things like affection for each other, exuberance about life, serenity. When we walk God's way, we develop a willingness to stay with things. A sense of compassion in our hearts, a conviction that basic holiness permeates things and people. And on the days when we find it's a little harder to believe that God's holiness is even in our enemies, people like Annie Lamott would remind us that those are the days we need to pray a little bit more. I'm thinking about that as someone is reading a budget out loud right now. In a city far away that's not always kind to those among us who are in need. But we are Christians. We have chosen this kind of life, the life of the Spirit, the life of love. So let us make sure that we don't just hold love as an idea in our hearts, a sentiment, but we work out love's implications in our lives. That means we won't compare ourselves with each other as if one of us was better and another was worse. We have more interesting things to do with our lives, suggests Eugene Peterson in the message. Each of us is an original. Live into the freedom of your originality, because every one of us is necessary to the world we live in. Every one of us has a gift that the world needs. Are you sharing that gift? In these particular days, we need to keep choosing love over fear. Worshiping together, coming to church on Sundays, watching online reminds us we're not alone. The church can also remind us of the lessons of the gospel. To keep growing, to keep changing, to keep loving our neighbor and God through our being and our action. No one of us can do everything that's needed in the world. But if I call my senator and you write a letter to a friend, if someone prays for the person with cancer, if someone else contributes to a food pantry, if a driver leads space for someone to go at the next stop sign, if a shopper is patient with a store clerk, if I sit with a dying friend and you welcome a stranger. Our kids told us the simplest way is with a smile, and you only have these muscles to move. Then love can keep rippling out wherever we are, and the joy and freedom of God's vision for this earth can thrive and grow. Lest you think this is just one more sermon about the job of Christians to love, 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 let's go one step further. Earlier this month, in June, 92-year-old pastor, UCC pastor, and Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann died. In the midst of some of the dire news of each day and school graduation photos on my Facebook, there have been a lot of his quotations, and one of them has been really staying in my mind. And yesterday I went back to a sermon I thought was done and thought, no, I need to work this in somehow. He wrote in a book called A Way Other Than Our Own about the vocation and the calling of those of us who are baptized, you and I who call ourselves Christians. Brueggemann reminds us first that in our baptism, God claims us as known, named, freed, and loved. And as those of us who are freed from sin, from guilt, from shame, from our past, we are gifted to be open to our neighbors, generous in our communities, to commit love's acts of compassion and mercy, to work for justice for the weak and the poor. Those who know they are freed in love, says Brueggemann, pray in the morning, care through the day, and rejoice at night in thanks of praise. Three things to do: pray, care with love, and rejoice. Are we living this love that Brueggemann describes, freed through the love of Jesus Christ and our Creator God, empowered by the Holy Spirit to every day love a little more? What would happen to change in us to feel more free, to lighten our load of fear and anxiety, to open our eyes further, open our hearts, grow our minds, to let the love of God flow through us? We could name 1,000 outside things, but God says, here you are, I am inside you. You have so much to work with. What can you do? Centuries of followers of Jesus Christ are full of persons who chose this way to live, the way of love, to grow more in love every day with God's children, to spend time not caught up in fear and anxiety, but instead to align ourselves, shift away from fear and anxiety, and align ourselves toward communities and making communities where love is the way and hope abounds. Be of good courage. It's another phrase that appears a lot in Scripture. Because it does take some courage, some good heart. Because God is changing us for the better, for more freedom and more love. We were made for love and community. Let's live like it. Through prayer in the morning, caring all day in God's love, and rejoicing at night in all that God is doing through, in, and in spite of us. God is with you. Go and love.